Americans waste a lot of food. By some estimates, we throw away 40% of our food supply every year. But researchers from ASU's W.P. Carey School of Business are using tech to try to reduce that number. Through a grant from the U.S. Agriculture Department, they'll look for ways to better match food producers and consumers. With me to explain is Tim Richards. He's a professor of agribusiness at the Carey School and teaches economics and the economics of the food industry. And Tim, this project kind of sounds to me like it's a Match.com almost for the food industry.
Match.com, that's a good analogy. Probably a better one would be an Airbnb or an Uber. The whole idea of these peer-to-peer systems is to basically take an asset that is not used to capacity and share it. It seems kind of strange that we'd apply that to food. But if you think about it, you know, there's lots of fields out there where vegetables, you know, melons and things like that land out in the field. Not everything can make grade at a supermarket. You know, they only pick the things that they think are most likely to sell. So there's a good percentage that lays out in the field. These companies that we're working with are basically taking that surplus produce that would be otherwise unsaleable to a supermarket, going out to the farmer, picking it up, bringing it back to their warehouse. They have an app that you can click on the app. You can assemble a box of this ugly produce, and they'll deliver it to your door.
If there is such a demand for that kind of produce, for example, though, wouldn't supermarkets just buy it and sell it to those folks in their stores?
That's an excellent point. In general, yeah. You know, in theory, that would be great if it worked that way. But, you know, if you go into a store, you know, go into a Safeway's at the end of the day or the Fry's or what have you, and, you know, guess what's left at the bottom of the produce box? You know, it's the stuff that maybe is at the very end of the tail of what they would buy off farmers. You know, it's the ugly tomatoes and things like that that people just leave behind. And things that are kind of semi-perishable, they can take to a food bank and such. But for a lot of the produce, they end up just throwing it out, and that's just pure waste. You know, consumers are fussy. They want the nicest-looking stuff. So appearance is all important in selling produce in the supermarket environment. And the thing is that the consumers that go to these, and there's only a few of them now, you know, we're working with imperfect produce, or mostly in California, not all. You know, there's only a few of them out there now. So it's a niche market. There's only some people out there that you think, you know, this would be cool. I would accept, you know, a kiwi with two heads or something like that, you know, because I'm making better use of produce. And I realize food waste is a problem.
You mentioned the idea of perishables, and I'm curious about that because obviously produce, regardless of what it looks like, has a certain shelf life. How quickly can you and how quickly do you have to make this match of getting the produce to a warehouse, then finding somebody who wants it, and then getting it to that person?
Right. You know, it really depends. You know, we refer to fresh fruits and vegetables as being perishables, but the degree of perishability depends. You know, it's like bananas, it's a couple days. Potatoes, it's months. You know, so it really depends upon the produce item that you're talking about.
How exactly do you envision this working? I mean, do you have to have a fleet of drivers? You reference this being maybe something like Uber. Do you need a fleet of drivers, or maybe you partner with a company like Uber to, in addition to driving people, and they drive now food from restaurants, maybe they also deliver food to customers?
Right. Like I say, there's a few business models out there now. Imperfect Produce uses their own trucks. I could easily see, you know, an Instacart type idea where they, you know, partner with just independent drivers kind of thing, and, you know, use that to get the boxes to the individual consumer. You know, like any other supply chain problem, most of the issues are in what we call the last mile. You know, it's relatively easy to get a truck out to a farm and get the stuff to the warehouse, but, you know, getting it from that warehouse out to consumers is the hard problem. So there's going to be lots of attempts at that, and there's going to be lots of different business models before it gets shaken out. You know, the industry is so young at this point. That's really the value of the research we're doing for USDA, and I think where they see value too is that we're looking at whether these things are going to be viable and whether that kind of business model can be extended not only to, you know, what I regard as kind of the obvious thing is taking the surplus produce from the field, you know, into a warehouse. We eventually want to look at whether this is going to be a solution for where most of the food waste is, you know, at restaurants, in households, things like that.
One of the things that we've heard over the past couple of years is that food banks are often a market for some of this what you lovingly called as ugly produce before, were stuff that farmers couldn't sell to a grocery store. They would maybe donate or sell to a food bank. Is there a danger that this might add to the competition and food banks might lose out on some of the food that they're getting?
Absolutely. You know, and that's one part of our research, too, is that we want to look at the role of food banks in this sort of bigger picture of more of systemic change in terms of how we can better manage food in order to minimize food waste. You know, food banks have always traditionally arisen, I guess, as more of a sort of side solution, you know, a charitable solution, something that's not part of the market system that we had, you know, if we designed it from the ground up to be optimal in terms of minimizing food waste. You know, so we don't want to, you know, push food banks out of the industry, but there is always going to be a role for them, more in a charitable sense. But I think there's going to be room for all players when we sit back and, you know, think about how the system's going to evolve over time to, you know, meet everybody's needs in the best sort of way.
Well, Tim Richards, thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Tim Richards is a professor in the W.P. Carey School of Business at ASU. He teaches economics and the economics of the food industry.